Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have written your word, or hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. We've been talking about faith songs. Faith songs. And you know, songs have an important part in any culture. They play a powerful role in any culture, no matter what the nation is or the ethnic group. They have a powerful influence for evil, or they can have also a powerful influence for good and for righteousness. Just as an example of that, a few weeks ago during the Grammy Awards, if you were watching that, you may have noticed that artist Lady Gaga came into the hall there in a giant egg. And she comes out of this egg and performs her latest song, Born This Way. Now, this is just an example of how music and songs can be used in a culture to lead a culture down the wrong path. And Lady Gaga's song goes like this, I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. a few of the lyrics. I'm beautiful in my way because God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgendered life, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born to survive. No matter black, white, beige, cola, or Orient made, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born to be brave. I'm beautiful in my own way because God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Now, Lady Gaga is not a great theologian, obviously, and she got one thing right in that song, though, one thing right, and that is that God makes no mistakes. But everything else about the song is wrong, that he did not make us to make mistakes. He did not make us to violate his own law. And so you can see there how music can influence a culture toward evil. But on the other hand, music and songs have a great way of influencing culture, and particularly the culture of the church and the people of God as we gather together. Songs influence our culture. Just this past week, Nan and I were at a Christian concert, and we heard a beautiful piece of music performed. Before the music was performed, though, the composer had the opportunity to talk about his inspiration in composing this particular piece of music. And he told that he was inspired by hearing the story of a young student who was a missionary down in Haiti and serving the people of Haiti last January when the earthquake struck there. This young man happened to be inside a house that collapsed. And he was buried under the rubble, and rescue workers worked feverishly to try to recover and to rescue him. The problem is that they could not see his body. They could not see where he was. The only thing that was guiding them was the fact that he was singing. As the composer said, singing songs of peace. He was worshiping the Lord. And those rescue workers could hear his song, his faith song, under that rubble, and they were able to find him in that way. Unfortunately, the young man died from his injuries. But his life is a powerful testimony of the fact that our faith sings even in the darkest moments of life. And so we're talking about faith songs. Now, remember I said, and today, incidentally, we're going to talk about faith sings with God's word. Faith sings with God's word. It is to be the heartbeat of our singing together as the people of God. It is to be the heartbeat of our thinking together as the people of God. Psalm 119 has a reference to the Word of God in every one of its 176 verses. All 176 verses of Psalm 119 makes reference to the very Word of God. Now remember I said that the Psalms were composed as Hebrew poetry. And therefore, if we just read them like we read a narrative of some kind or a historical account, we will miss the beauty and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in giving the psalmist the songs that we find here in the book of Psalms. For instance, as I said earlier, there are 176 verses in Psalm 119. They are divided into 22 sections, and each one of those sections has 8 verses in it. Also, each one of those sections corresponds to each of the 22 characters in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, let me show you how it works. For instance, if you'll just look down at your Bible, and you may notice that at the top of verse 1, you see the word Aleph. Aleph is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And so the first word of each one of the next 8 verses begins with the Hebrew letter Aleph. And then we come to verse 9, our text today, and you see that Hebrew character there, perhaps in your copy of the Bible. That is the Hebrew letter Bet. And the first word in each one of the next 8 verses begins with the Hebrew letter Bet. And all the way through, all 22 characters in the Hebrew alphabet. That is the way Psalm 119 is composed. It's a beautiful work of art. It is what we call an acrostic poem. Now we come back to verse 9, and notice it says there, how can a young man, ask a powerful question, how can a young man keep his way pure? Great question. And yet you need to know that when he speaks there of a young man, it's not just making reference to males, that this doesn't just apply to guys. That word is oftentimes used to describe young people in general. It talks about people at the impressionable age of life. And so how can a person at this stage in life keep their way pure? And the answer comes back in the last part of verse 9, and that is to keep it living according to your word. Now, what is this word that we've been making reference to over and over today in our singing and that you see repeatedly here in Psalm 119? Well, it is the revelation of God Himself. If you go back to verse 1, Psalm 119 and verse 1, the psalmist says, blameless are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. And that word law is a word that you may be familiar with. In the Hebrew, it is the Torah. It is the Torah. It is a word that is used to describe the law of Moses or the book of Moses that contain the Ten Commandments and the expansion and the extension of those commandments that we find in the first 5 books of our Old Testament. And so that is one of the huge words that is used all the way through the Old Testament related to the Word of God. Now, that word is not found in our text, but what we do find in our text beginning in verse 9 through verse 16 are synonyms for that. I want you to just look at verse and beginning in verse 9 and notice the different words that are used to describe the law of the Lord, the Word of God. Notice in verse 9, talks about living according to your word. In verse 10, do not let me stray from your commands. It's another synonym for the word of the Lord. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart. There is a different word from the one that is found in verse 9. Look at verse 12. Teach me your decrees. Yet another word, another synonym for the word of God. Look at verse 13. All the laws that come from your mouth. This is not the word Torah. It's a different word for law. Look at verse 14. I rejoice in following your statutes. Yet another synonym. Verse 15. There are 2 of them. I meditate on your precepts, but also consider your ways. 2 more words. Verse 16. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. comes back, the same word that is used in verse 9. And so, these verses show us how we are to have a life-changing connection with the Word of God. That's the point I want to get across to you today. That's the thing that we must get hold of before we leave today. And that is, how in the world can this song that we've been, this word that we've been singing about today, how in the world can it have a life-changing impact upon us? Well, I mentioned earlier that Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem. Now, why would someone write a psalm like this? Composed like this? Well, he did it probably as a memory tool. And so there was some student somewhere who was challenged to memorize this whole chapter, this whole psalm. And so the writer would then compose it in a way that it could be memorized. And so I thought it might be fun today as we talk about the way that the Word of God makes a life-changing impact upon our lives, that we could just use an acrostic to remember that. And let's use the word psalm, P-S-A-L-M, to remind us of the things that are found here in these 8 verses that teach us how we can have a life-changing connection with God's Word. Let's let the P in psalm stand for pursue. Pursue God in His Word. Pursue God in His Word. And that's what the psalmist says there in verse 10. I seek you, Lord, with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Lord, I'm seeking you. By the way, every verse in our text today is either a prayer to God or a praise to God. And so the Word of God is the means by which we pursue knowing Him. You know, there are a lot of ways that we can pursue God. One way we can pursue God is through nature, and there are a lot of people who enjoy doing that. Going out in nature, and the Bible does teach us that what we can know about God in part is taught to us by creation. That God's divine nature and His great power is displayed in what He has made. And so there is a sense in which we can pursue God in nature. But friends, if that's all you do is pursue God in nature, you're not going to get the complete picture. We pursue God in His Word. This, do you understand? This is the main way, the primary way that God wants us to seek after Him, to search for Him, and to pursue Him. And that is in the very Word of God. Don't tell me that you have a hunger for God if you are not engaged actively and regularly and consistently in the Word of God. Don't say that you yearn after and long after and want to know God if you're not spending any time in His Word. By the way, it's found all the way through Psalm 119. For instance, verse 72, "The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold." I mean, what if I handed you today, or had before you, two options: a sack full of silver and gold or the Word of God? Which one would you choose? Well, I mean, we would think somebody was ridiculous if they didn't choose the sack of silver and gold. And yet the psalmist said, "Lord, I hunger for your word. I long for your word. Your word, your communication to me, I long for that more than thousands of pieces of silver and gold." Look at verse 81. "My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word." Do you understand that this is not just reading words off of a page? That every time you open the Bible, you are having an encounter with Almighty God. And the main way that God wants us to pursue Him is in His Word. Psalm 119, 164, 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. 7 times a day. And so for the Bible to have a maximum impact upon our lives, we need to read it in pursuit of God. Let the S in Psalms stand for study. Study the Word. Pursue God in the Word. Study the Word. God's Word will not have a life-changing impact upon our lives if we are not going deeper than just surface reading. We need to study it. And that's what the psalmist talks about, for instance, in verse 12. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your precepts. There's something I have to learn, Lord. I need you to teach me. And verse 16 says, I delight in your decrees, Lord. I delight. I love your word. I will not neglect it. By the way, I will not neglect. Basically, he's saying, I won't forget it. And then the Hebrew way of thinking, when this is used oftentimes in the Old Testament, when they say, I will not forget it, it's more than just, I won't let it slip from my memory. The idea is, I won't turn my back on it. I won't turn my back on your word. Friends, today, we do that all the time when we do not engage in the careful study of God's word. There's a powerful prayer in verse 18. I love this prayer. And this would be one that you might want to memorize and use every time you open the Bible or every time you come to a time like this when someone is teaching or preaching from God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Open my eyes, Lord, that I can see the wonderful things that are in your law. Let me just give you a silly illustration of this. Suppose you're driving along University Drive over here to the west of us, and you come to that intersection, and you look across the way, and you see the Fort Worth Zoo there. And you see that massive lizard that sits up on top of the building. That's the zoo. You see the big sign out front. Now, you cannot go home and say to your family, hey, I went to the zoo today. Now, you went by the zoo today, but you didn't go to it. Well, suppose on the next day, you drive by and you decide, I'm going to go down this side street and I'm going to go into the parking lot. You pull into the parking lot, turn around, and leave. You do not have the right to go home and say to your family, hey, I went to the zoo today. Well, you got as far as the parking lot, but you didn't go to the zoo. Or maybe you went to a luncheon the next day and you heard somebody talk about the zoo and give a lecture about the zoo. But you can't go home and say to your family, hey, I went to the zoo today. No, that doesn't count. No, what you do is you drive into the parking lot, you get out of your car, you walk to the ticket booth, you purchase your ticket, you walk inside, and you begin to explore all of the exhibits and all of the areas where the animals are on display in the cages. And you soak it all up, and then if you're really diligent, you will stop, and then you will read the plaques and the explanations outside of each of those cages that tells you the funny name of the animal and where they're found and what they eat and how big they get. Then you can go home and say, I went to the zoo. And the same thing is true with the Word of God. Just because you have one in your house, just because you bring one to church with you, doesn't count for studying the Word of God. Just because you listen to someone else teach it or preach it from time to time, even though that is very, very important, that doesn't count for your own personal study of the Word of God. Just because you read the Word of God, because you have a goal to read through the Bible, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are studying and digging deep into the Word of God. What it calls for us is that we study God's Word seriously, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, sentence by sentence, word by word, character by character, doctrine by doctrine, precept by precept. That's the way God wants us to dig into His Word. A lifelong encounter. And then and only then does it have the potential of really shaping our lives. I've studied God's Word now for over 35 years, and I want to say to you, in all honesty, I have never been more excited about Scripture than I am today. You know, you would think that if you read something for 35 years that you would reach a point of just being tired of it or that you would reach a point where there's nothing new. But that's not true about God's Word, because it tells us that it is alive and that it is powerful. That we don't just read the Word, that it reads us as we study the Scripture. Pursue God in His Word. Study the Word. Let's let the A in Psalms stand for absorb the Word in your heart. Absorb the Word in your heart. You cannot read these words without seeing that it, for it to make a life-changing impact upon your life, it's got to be more than just mental. That as you engage in the Word of God, as you consume the Word of God, it goes deeper than that. Look at verse 11 again. I have hidden your Word in my heart. I have treasured your Word, not just in my head, but I've treasured it and hidden it in my heart. And the only way for that to happen is for us to think deeply about the Word of God. And that's what the Bible calls meditation. And the psalmist speaks of that. For instance, look at verse 15. I meditate on your precepts and consider your decrees. Psalm 119, verse 97 says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Let me ask you just to do a quick time audit of a typical day for you. As you go through the day, how long are the gaps between one thought of God's Word and the next one? Maybe you get up in the morning and you have your quiet time and you read the Bible and you think about God's Word. You meditate maybe on it when you have your devotional time in the morning. But when is the next time you think about it? The next morning? But here the psalmist says, I meditate on it all day long. Now, how can he do that? He probably can't carry his Bible around with him unless he has it on his iPhone or his smartphone or whatever. But most of us don't carry our Bibles with us most everywhere we go. Why? He had it in his head and he had it in his heart. He had hidden it, treasured it in his heart. And there he was able to think about it. I said this a couple of weeks ago talking about meditation, that Hebrew word has an audible connotation to it. It's almost like he is mumbling to himself. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. What does that mean? Meditating, thinking about it deeply. Going over it and wondering, God, what does that mean? How do you want me to apply that in my life? Psalm 119, verse 99 says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Students, how would you like to be smarter than your teachers? Some of you already think you are, but how would you really like to be smarter, have more insight than your teachers? Insight comes from meditation on the Word of the Lord. So absorb the Word of God in your heart. Let it move from beyond just head knowledge of it, and let it soak into the core of your being, to your mind, your will, and your emotions, to where it begins to truly affect the way you live your life. And that's the next thing I want you to notice about our life-changing connection with the Word of God. We pursue God in the Word. We study the Word. We absorb the Word in our heart. And then it's not complete until we live the Word. We live it. And that's what the psalmist talks about, for instance, in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? So here is a person who's going along, and the purity of their life is constantly under attack. And students, maybe you feel that way. That your desire and your goal and your commitment to live a pure life before God is constantly under attack. And so the psalmist questioned, how can a young person keep their way pure? The answer, by living according to your Word. Living according to your Word. Let me just show you how this works. You see, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to the hearts of the people of God. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to the hearts of the people of God. And so when we hear a truth For instance, the very first truth that you come to understand when you are saved is that you are absolutely lost in your sin, that you're a sinner and have been from the very beginning. But there was a Savior who came, who lived a perfect life, the very Son of God, who went to the cross and died for your sin and rose again, and that if you put your trust and your faith in Him, that He will give you a new life. You'll be saved and receive this wonderful gift of His righteousness. Now the Holy Spirit takes that truth, the gospel, and applies it to our hearts, and that's how a person is saved. And it's only until the Holy Spirit applies that to our hearts that we understand it, we get it. And then from the rest of your life as a follower of Jesus, that's the way it works. That the Holy Spirit will take the truths that you have on file in your head and in your heart, and He will apply them. You come up against situations in life every day where you need the counsel of God's Word, and the Holy Spirit can bring it to your mind, but only if you've exposed yourself to it. And so we live the Word of God. The psalmist said, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you see the connection between hiding God's Word in our heart and the sin issue that we struggle with? John made reference earlier to Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet. I like to think about it in these ways. A lamp, a little Coleman lantern, will show you the path at the foot of your, right at your feet. It will show you what you need to avoid. But then it's also a light, like a flashlight, that you can shine down the way and you can see farther down. So it's a lamp to your feet, but it's also a flashlight that you look out farther ahead. So we need to pursue God in His Word. Study the Word, absorb the Word in our hearts, live the Word, and let's let the M in Psalm stand for minister the Word to others. Minister the Word to others. Do you understand that when God gives you an insight in His Word, that it's not just for you? It is for you, but it's not just for you. And don't be surprised if God brings someone across your path very soon who needs to hear the same thing. God intends for us to minister. I think that's what Psalm 119:13 says. With my lips, I recount all the laws that have come from your mouth. We hear it from God, and we share it with others. We are to consistently and continuously share the truth with others. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. As you teach and admonish one another with the word of God. I asked you earlier to do a time audit of your day. Just think of a conversation audit. How often each day do you talk to other people about things you've gleaned from the word of God? How often each day? Well, we spend a lot of time talking about a lot of stuff, and it's fine. We're human beings, and we have all kinds of aspects to our lives, and it's okay with God that we talk about the things that are special to us. But is there any time during your day that you're talking to each other about the Word of God in your families, at school, the people that you work with, speaking to one another? Ephesians 5:19 says to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I tell you, God is always faithful to His Word. And friends, if you will just give God a chance at this, you will be amazed at how He works. He is always faithful to His promises. I think back on the times that I've been confused, and I didn't know which way to go. And I remember James 1:5 that says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I think about the times when I faced fearful situations in life. And I've remembered Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I think about the times that I've faced temptation. And I remember 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says, there is no temptation taken you except what is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear up under it. I think about the times that I didn't think I could go on. I was so weak. And I remembered Isaiah 40:31, that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They shall soar on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. I think about the times that I've been enticed by the things of this world and tempted to let them come become my joy. And I think about Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. I think about the times when I have faced difficult decisions. And I didn't know which way was right, which way was wrong. And I remembered Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I thought about the times that God has comforted me in trouble. And I remembered 2 Corinthians 1:4, that says God comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we could comfort others in their troubles with the comforts we ourselves have received from God. I think back on that day when I was first told that I was a sinner and lost and headed to hell. And I remembered Romans 10:13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friends, there's a word for every situation in life. Why in the world would you want to live life without it?